Good morning. Would you join me in the prayer for illumination that's printed in your bulletin and on the board? Open your hand to us, O God, giver of good things. Do not hide your face from us. Send forth your spirit in this worship service today, and let us be recreated. Renew us, O God, with your spirit through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture reading this morning is from the book of John, chapter 7, verses 37 through 39, and chapter 20, 19 through 23. On the last day of the festival, the great day, while Jesus was standing there, he cried out, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." Now he said this about the Spirit, which believers in him were to receive. For as yet there was no Spirit, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus appears to the disciples. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
At this time, if there are any young people that would like to go with Tevin for junior church, you are invited to do so. Have fun. Sophia looks so happy. So we have a bit of an up and down situation in our scripture reading today. To understand the timeline of these verses from John, you have to understand what's happening contextually. So in the first reading from John, we see the disciples as they are huddled in the upper room. Well, I'm sorry, the first reading is Jesus preaching. Jesus is preaching that he is the living water. And so we hear of Christ preaching during a time of celebration. And then in John 20, we see the disciples following the crucifixion of Christ. They're huddled in the upper room. They're afraid. They're afraid of possible punishment for having been disciples of Jesus. And then we'll talk about Pentecost in a little bit, which will be the epic story of the release of God's Holy Spirit as told in Acts. So just understand kind of the progression of Jesus preaching and then the disciples following his death. And then we'll talk about Pentecost, because today is Pentecost Sunday in our church. Happy birthday to the church. It is a day of celebration. But in our lives, moments of celebration can be closely knit with more somber times, just as we went from a time of remembering those who are no longer present with us into a time of celebrating the youngest disciples among us. This day of remembering, as we honor the lives of those lost in battle for our country and the lives of those saints who have gone before us, we have mixed emotions. Isn't that the truth of our entire human experience, though? One minute we are rejoicing, and the next minute there is a more somber moment. That is the beauty of life. Up and down, sadness and joy, peace and conflict. We tend to believe and tell ourselves that we would like to have all happiness and all joy all of the time. But would it seem truly joy-filled and happy if we never experienced any other emotion? That is a question for the ages. Today is indeed the birthday of the church in some ways. Today we remember when the disciples received the gift that was promised to them by Jesus, the gift of the Holy Spirit of God. Normally, we read the other Pentecost story. Normally, we read the one where there are spirit winds and flames whipping through the house. Today, a more quiet entry of the Holy Spirit of God. But again, just as we said before, life is full of big moments and quieter moments. Today, we read of the Holy Spirit's more quiet entry. In our scripture reading today, in the first reading from John, we hear Jesus preach. You must understand it is the Feast of the Tabernacles, the most popular feast among the Jewish faithful. This feast of the Lord was celebrated for 7 days. And during these 7 days, the Jewish faithful moved out of their homes. They built small structures in their yard or somewhere else outdoors. They lived in these tents or structures for the entire 7 days of the feast to remember their ancestors who wandered for year upon year with no home. For these 7 days, they enter into a sort of homeless feeling, honoring the trials of their ancestors. They didn't want to forget what it was like to wander outside of the will of God, because remembering is so very important. When we remember the missteps of our ancestors, we are more apt to do things differently. I wonder, on this Memorial Day, as we remember the heroes who have died at war, I wonder how our lives would be changed if we lived 7 days in the shadow of war, how differently we would view things. Remembering is important. Acknowledging is important. Standing in the shoes of another is important. Just like the highs and lows that I've called us to be aware of, this festival was not just a time of sober remembrance. It was also a time of celebration. These Jewish faithful were celebrating the harvest season. During this time of remembrance and celebration, the Jewish people would praise God for rain and praise God for a fruitful season. And they prayed that God would continue to bless them. So it is on this last day of the festival of the Lord, the day when the Jewish people would spend much time in worship, that we find Jesus preaching. On this day in worship, the Jewish faithful would participate by going back and forth from the river to the altar to collect water and bring it, and they would pour it at the altar to thank God for the rain. Jesus stands and cries out, "If any man is thirsty, let them come to me and drink." As the people are praising God for life-giving water, Jesus cries out to remind those that he is the true fountain of life. And through him, his believers will be able to bear much fruit. This was a divisive time for Christ. Many people heard his cries on this holy day and were not convinced that he was the Messiah. Just as people struggle with their relationships with God, now humanity struggled to remember then. As these Jewish faithful praised God for the life-giving water that helped them to survive, that helped them to nourish the land, helped it to bear its crops, the true source of life stood among them, but they struggled to see. And that is why Jesus is standing there, because God's people struggled to see, struggled to maintain their belief. Just like us, in times of trial, when things are bad, we struggle to see God. We struggle to maintain belief. We struggle to understand why God would allow bad things to happen. And some even believe why God would cause bad things to happen. But we know that God is not the author of chaos. God does not cause bad things. But sometimes we feel as if we wander the wilderness. When we are praying for crops, for rain for our crops, we cry out for miracles. And oftentimes when we've been through a difficult time, we ask, God where he is. The Jews worshiped the God who had led their ancestors to freedom. They also worshiped the God who was faithful during their time of wandering. But as time and generations pass, it becomes easier to forget what it was like to wander. It's easy to slip into complacency when things are going well. But as time and generations pass, we must remember. And so in this moment, Jesus stands in the midst of his people as they are remembering and cries out, "I am the true source of life." Some believe and others say, "It's not him. They're not much different than we are. Here is God. Where is God?" On our own, we struggle. On our own, our belief gets caught up in the waves of our feelings and our emotions. It's so easy to believe in God on the good days. It's difficult to believe in the wilderness. I said in church last Sunday evening in Republic, when bad things happen, people often ask me, "Where was God?" I've never had one person win the lottery and ask, "Well, where was God?" We tend to wonder where God is on the bad days, but not so much when things are in our favor. See, because in our own power, in our own humanity, we cannot proclaim faith when the world crumbles around us. It's too much for us, and that is why we were gifted with the Spirit of God. Because through the Spirit of God, we can see God's presence in the crumbled world. See, and that's where we find our disciples in our second reading this morning. The world has crumbled. They are hidden away in the days following Jesus' death. They were the ones who said, "He really is the Messiah, yet now he's dead." And so they think themselves fooled. Did they not understand? Uncertainty surrounds them. It's as if they're holding their breath. Did you ever have that moment where it's just too much and you find yourself holding your breath? And then Jesus comes. Jesus comes. Though the door was locked, though they are fairly certain that it's over, Jesus comes. And what's the first thing that he says? "Peace be with you." He comes and reassures them. He says, "Here, come and touch me. Hear me." Jesus stands in the midst of them in their brokenness, in this breath-holding moment where they don't know what to do. They don't know where to turn. He breathes the Spirit of God on them. Earlier in John, Jesus said he would pray and that God would send them a comforter. And this is the beginning of the fulfillment of that promise. They need comfort. They've lost their way. They're without a rudder. They don't know how to steer in this new world. And Jesus comes. This moment was an acknowledgement of the promise that a comforter would come. In this moment, when the disciples are riding their emotions into a very scary place, Jesus comes and says, "Peace be with you." He breathed over them. He offered the breath of the Spirit when they were probably holding theirs, uncertain of what was going to happen. In this moment of crisis, of questioning, of wondering, of worrying, Jesus comes and offers them peace and offers them himself. He says, "Touch me, feel me, hear me." And he offers them the fresh breath of the Spirit. It is the moment that has been promised. This is a transforming moment for them. Now, it's not as epic as the Pentecost arrival that we hear of in Acts. That would come later. But isn't that the most amazing part of God's knowing us? God knows when we just need a breather. God knows when we are so overwhelmed by life's circumstance, with our own choices, with our own tragedy, with the choices that have been foisted upon us. And God shows up and says, "Peace be with you," and allows us to experience him in a new way. He offers us a new peace, and God's Spirit empowers us as we breathe God in, the God who knows us and knows what we need. You see, this moment, it's a moment of preparation for the disciples. It was gentle, but it was empowering. Jesus just kind of showed up. They had barred the door. They had locked everyone out, but Jesus came in and loved them in the midst of their overwhelm and gave them this breath of the Spirit to renew them, to restore them and their belief. He reminded them, this is how the story goes. But you see, we know people are going to leave us. We know it's going to happen. But knowing and experiencing are two different things. They knew this was how the story was going to go. But he knows that there are times that we forget his promise and we become overwhelmed. So he brings the promise to them. No locked door can keep him out. No locked heart will stop him from entering. He brings the promised Spirit in just the way that they need it. Could you imagine how they would have reacted if they would have had the Spirit of God enter into that room in the way the Spirit of God comes and acts? Can you imagine if the promised Spirit came in the wind and the fire that they would experience a short time later? They are already at the raggedy edge. They are afraid. They are behind locked doors. Can you imagine how they would have reacted had the doors whipped open, the windows flew open, the wind, like a freight train, came bearing through the room, tongues of fire settling on their heads. Can you imagine? They would have probably all just dropped dead. Too much. I'm out. They would have assumed that wasn't of God, even if it was. Because when we're so wrapped up in the tragedy of what's happening, we can't recognize God. God knows us. God knows that sometimes you need the gentle breath of preparation, the gentle breeze that is God's Spirit. Sometimes you need that whisper from Christ that my prayer for you is being answered, that the Comforter is within. And then other times, you need the full Pentecost show. You need the wind, the fire, the whole shebang. Last week, we heard Joni talk and give her testimony about how she is intentionally choosing to see God, choosing faith over fear during Parker's recovery. Actually, she's choosing peace in God during all the crisis she has faced in her life, which has been more than her fair share. When I walked into the sanctuary last week, she made a beeline for me and she said, "Pastor, I just feel like I need to share my testimony. I just really feel like God is putting it on me, and I feel like I'm supposed to say how I have seen God show up in just 1 week. We stood in this place, and 1 week before, her son had been life-flighted. And he sat in that pew. He sat among us. Talk about a week's work." I thought about Pentecost as I was thinking about Joni's testimony about Parker's recovery. I could hear the power in her words. She said, "God moved me to tell my story, to share my testimony." And I could hear that Pentecost fire within her, that same fire that entered into the upper room and tore through the building, and the sadness and the wind of change blew in. I could hear the yearning that God placed within the disciples, within Joni. She said, I want to share how my God showed up and showed off. I want them to know how God can change our lives. I want to share. Can I share?" And I thought, who am I? If God is telling you to do something, you go. You see, that's the same fire that God lit in the disciples on that day thousands of years ago. The fire to go out and to preach. And some of them would preach in languages they didn't even know. See, that's our God. And all of God's goodness on full display in both of these instances. The disciples, locked behind doors in the upper room, needed a breather. They needed a gentle empowering. They weren't ready for the winds and the fire. But that's how much God knows us. But then, just 40 days later, when they had seen the risen Christ, when they had eaten with him, talked with him, touched him, were instructed by him, and ultimately saw him return to the Father, they knew that the Spirit of comfort had come to them. They had felt the breath of God, and they were ready. And they had that same energy that Joni had. Hey, I got to tell him. Can I tell him? I got to tell him. I have to share. And Acts says they were all in one place together. But no locked doors this time. No hiding, no fear. This reading in Acts doesn't give you the impression that they were huddled behind locked doors and afraid. Rather, they were preparing the next step. They had gone through holding their breath. They had been comforted by God. Remember, God says there are seasons to everything. So if you're in the middle of a really crappy season, there's an end. And it might not feel like it. But I promise there is. And if you're in the middle of an empowering season, then seize that energy. Someone needs to hear it. They were preparing the next step forward. They had gathered together. They had spent time in prayer. They had decided how they were going to move forward. They were no longer reacting to the environment around them. They were no longer caught up in their emotions. Now they were preparing to respond to the call of God to work in this place. And then suddenly, like a violent freight train, this wind came and filled the entire house, not just the room they were in. The entire house is filled with this wind of change, and tongues of fire rested above their heads, and they were filled with the Spirit of God, not just breathed upon, filled every cell in their body, the lungs within their chests, their hearts. This flame of wonder came, and the Spirit gifted them with the ability to speak, some in languages they couldn't even understand. And then they spilled from the house. Can we tell them? Can I say it? Can I share how my God showed up and showed off and the church was born? That's our job, friends, to spill from this place. To spill from this place. There are people all around us holding their breath, waiting for someone to come. And that same God, the same God who breathed a spirit of comfort and peace, has come for all of us. And that same God, the same God who fills up an entire house with an empowering spirit wind and gifted them and gifts you, that same God has come for you. In some moments, God is gentle. In other moments, God is epic. But God is always God, and God is always good. And God is here now, responding in whatever way is perfect for you. All you have to do is receive it. And all God's people said, amen.